Our community connection introduces you to Rose Williams of Central Pennsylvania, who had an idea that would help her community get ahead.
We are a multi-phased, long-term, at least 40-week program. In the first phase, we follow a curriculum, and that curriculum is called Getting Ahead in a Just Getting By World. We just jumped off of that book title and called it Getting Ahead. And when I say it's multi-phased, the first 19 weeks is the curriculum. And then we have a formal graduation ceremony. And for some of our folks, that's their very first graduation ever. It's a huge moment for them and their families. After graduation, we then offer 6 sessions of financial literacy classes, which we partner with a local credit union. And they provide the instruction, but they go beyond and have an open door policy for all the graduates to come in and start working on budgeting, building their credit score, how to get a loan for a better vehicle, or even to get a vehicle so you can get a job. They're a fabulous partner. They have been with us since 2017. And after financial literacy classes, 4 years ago, graduates would say, "Well, Rose, what more do you have to offer?" And so we decided we would offer nutrition and wellness. So we're getting ahead with nutrition. And we modeled it after Penn State Extension's Nutrition Links, but we sort of expanded it to include our children. And we serve senior citizens. So now we're able to offer nutrition and wellness to everybody. And so our graduates still wanted more. I think at this point, they are competent learners. And so now we offer staying ahead workshops forever. And so they can pick and choose a topic that they may want to come to, or we might not see them for a few months, and then they'll come back. And it's just a wonderful reunion. We're actually serving currently 2 counties, Union County in Central PA and Northumberland County in Central PA. And we're looking to expand. Selins Grove has reached out with some interest. In Mount Carmel in Northumberland County, there's a high rate of poverty there. And we are currently serving Shamokin, which is a neighboring town. And so we're seeing a need maybe within the next year and a half, of expanding to Mount Carmel also.
This is so impressive. Are you a teacher?
Not exactly. My degree is in early childhood education. I spent 33 years with Head Start programming.
Wonderful program. And you're kind of molding it for adults, too, and helping them out. So of all of the people in all of the areas that you just mentioned, why was it you, Rose Williams, that decided to create a foundation to help others out?
I think it was because of my Head Start experience. Probably about the year of my career, 20 to 25, I began to see generations coming back through the Head Start program. And I thought, wow, we're a fabulous program, but apparently there's a lot of pieces to this poverty puzzle. What other pieces are out there to offer to families? And doing some research, I came upon Dr. Ruby Payne's work and read her books, went to some seminars and workshops, then became certified in Bridges Out of Poverty. And I'm also certified in Getting Ahead as a facilitator. Also certified as a facilitator for getting ahead in the workplace for low-resourced entry-level employees. And so I'm always looking for pieces to this puzzle. And because I'm looking, I have acquired, I can't even tell you how many great community partners. And we all work together. And I just recently heard Carla Alexander from Agape. And I thought, oh, we just became partners like 6 months ago. So it's that great networking, I think, that is giving folks that are low income a hands up.
I'm glad that you mentioned Carla. She was wonderful when she came in, and she was very real and told us about the situations that are happening in and around her region. And it's just interesting to see how interconnecting all of the nonprofits are to help people.
Yeah, it is a real family.
Can you go into that a little bit more? Because everybody has their own specialty, or everybody has their own discipline, so to speak, with
regard
to their nonprofit.
That's right. One of the first questions a lot of folks will ask me is, are you getting these people jobs? Yeah, that's the first thing that people, they don't have jobs. Well, and they're always shocked when I say, well, you know, probably 95% have jobs. The other 5% are retired. And those jobs they have are 2 and 3 part-timers, low wages. They're not the best jobs, but they are working. They absolutely are. And so if somebody does express, I need a better job or more hours, we refer them to our local career link. That's their expertise. That is not my expertise. If somebody comes to me and says, we need emergency food, we partner with the local food hub out of Lewisburg for food and clothing. Somebody needs winter coats. We partner with Community Aid. And Community Aid provides us with care cards. So I can give a family in need, it's like a credit card, and they can go to Community Aid and shop. And you know, this list just goes on and on. Wellspan Evangelical Community Hospital. Our folks often have poor health outcomes. And so we partner with EVAN for a lot of workshops on how to improve our health, preventative health screenings. The list just goes on and on. I have a local mechanic who has raised his hand and said, I want to help. And so he gives discounts to our graduates. And if it's a big repair bill, he'll break it down into payments. They keep their job, keep their child care, they keep their roof over their head because of a local mechanic.
Why can't we clone you, Rose? This is a beautiful idea. And was this something that you read about, or was this something that through your observations you thought, I need to do something. I have to put my foot forward and establish something in my community. How did it start?
When my career was coming to an end, I really wasn't ready to stop. You know, evaluating my passions, my expertise, what talents do I have? How can I put them to use for a better community? And hopefully to see that spread. And so when I took my inventory, my personal inventory, I thought, I need to do something. I'm put here on this earth for a purpose. And I believe this is my purpose. And apparently it is.
This is very moving to me, how you saw the need and you took action. Many times people are afraid to step forward. Many times people are afraid to say, I really want to get this done and try something, and they don't know exactly how to go about it.
Well, I think number one, you need to start with passion, because when I first started, we started a pilot program, a tiny little village, and we had 6 interested people. But I reached out to the community to see, are there any other nonprofits doing anything similar? Because I don't want to replicate what's already out there. And so by bringing that group of leaders in to talk about what we were proposing, word of mouth had spread, and we ran for 5 years on volunteers alone. Yes, volunteers alone.
Wow.
And we need a lot of volunteers because we provide a meal before our group. It's about nutrition, but it's about removing barriers for attendance. And so if, you know, I'm a working parent and I pick my children up at the babysitter after work, I really don't feel like going home and making a meal and then going to Getting Ahead. So you can pick up your children and come to Getting Ahead, have a good meal with everybody. We all sit down together. Then when we have our group meetings, we have on-site childcare. So that's another barrier we have removed. And we do offer our participants a small gift card, a stipend for gas to get there. All these things just came together. I think my years of Head Start, this is the demographic that I know and love and have watched them be marginalized for decades. And if they can't have a voice, I will be that voice for them.
You're a beautiful advocate, Rose. You really are. What are some of the success stories that you've seen in Getting Ahead?
Well, I have a lot. We accept folks from 18 to really to 80. And a lot of people will say, well, why would you take anybody over 50? How are they ever going to get ahead? And so I have my Edith story. So Edith came to us at about 64 years of age. She had suffered a stroke the year before, and she was using a walker. And Edith kept her head down a lot. She never really talked during group. She had long, gray, sort of matted hair. Her glasses were broke on both sides and taped. And Edith was incontinent. So probably the third week in, after everybody had left, she asked if she could speak with me and told me that she was going to be evicted from an apartment. So we had a nice talk. We built that trust. And because of community partners, we partner with Shape of Justice, which provides menstrual and incontinent products. So we got Edith all those. The local Kiwanis did a hygiene drive. And so Edith was able to get shampoo, body wash, all kinds of things that she needed. It was probably the 5th or 6th week of our group. She got a haircut. She got a great haircut. She looked wonderful. Her head was up. And 2 weeks later, new glasses. And like I said, we partnered with Community Aid. We gave her some care cards. She could get some clothing. And we got her an apartment. Dig Furniture Bank furnished that apartment for Edith. Edith is flying high at this point, and she is contributing so much in class because she has life experience. The younger people were really looking up to Edith. And one day Edith said to me, "You know, Rose, I'm blessed with so much, but there's one more thing I need." And I said, "Well, what is it, Edith?" She said, "Well, I need a job." And so we partnered with the local United Way, and they needed a receptionist. That's what Edith did. She got a job as a receptionist. And when I walked in to see her, she was just beaming. She was well accessorized with her items from Community Aid, and life was good. That's one story. And that's how a community can come together to change a life, even at 64.
Rose, I love that story, but I also love the expression I'm seeing on your face that our listeners cannot see.
Mm-hmm.
There's that strength in your face, but there's also a terrific compassion and emotional feeling that I hear in your voice as well. Because you're in charge of the nonprofit organization, you have to be businesslike and you have to be organized and take care of a lot of people. But how does it impact you emotionally?
Oh, it impacts me emotionally a lot. And I do contact a lot of people, different walks of life all the time. And one thing we learn in Getting Ahead is about code switching. And so the way I talk to you today, Lisa, may not be the way I talk to my neighbor tonight having a drink on the front porch. We code switch. And so I have learned to code switch very well and talk to a lot of people about a lot of different things. And there are times, Lisa, where that impact is so powerful, I need to take a day off from talking to people.
I understand.
And just recover.
You need to regroup.
Mm-hmm.
You need to regroup.
Yeah.
I'm calling it a mission, if you don't mind.
It is a mission.
It's a mission that you are taking extraordinarily seriously, and you're really looking out for the greater good of your community, but for every single person who's come to you for help, you're looking out for their welfare.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I hope as we walk this journey together with our community volunteers and our low-income families, we're changing perspectives. A lot of our volunteers, I'll just tell you a story one night in the kitchen with some kitchen help that brought in a meal for us. And the one lady said, "Rose, come here." She said, "You know, I didn't really want to come here tonight." And I said, "Oh, why? You know, I'm glad you're here, but why?" And she said, "I just didn't know about these people." And before I could say anything, and she said, "You know what? They're just like us." Mm-hmm. And I'm like, yeah, we're all in this boat together.
I'm finding out more and more that it could take something in your life, whether it's an injury or maybe it's the loss of a job, that can put you in a state where you see an awful lot of people who are struggling, and things are expensive, and it's very, very hard to kind of make ends meet. Mm-hmm. And so I can understand that. But sometimes there is still that stigma that's stuck with the
people. There definitely is, yeah.
So how do you overcome that? Whenever you're working with people, how do you overcome those who say, "But no, I don't really want to deal with people like that"?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I do a lot of community presentations, and I will always interject some things. Or another question I have, why are they in the food pantry line every week and they have a 75-inch TV? It doesn't make sense to me. And then my response is, "Do you have your summer vacation planned?" "Oh, yeah, we're going to Ocean City for a week or two." And I'll say, "Well, you know, the folks that we're working with don't have that luxury of planning a week or two away. So when they come home after working two or three jobs, that television is their respite. That's their entertainment. They don't have Ocean City to look forward to." It makes perfect sense. And you can just see people like, "Oh, yeah, never thought of that."
How do you believe Getting Ahead has changed perspectives within your community?
Well, it has changed greatly. In one of our sites in Milton, we meet at a church. And when I first started there 4 years ago, the pastor was way on board, but the members weren't. They're a little icy, And I thought, well, we'll see how this goes. We'll see what we can do. And over time, the pastor gave me an opportunity one Sunday to talk to the entire congregation. And then in and out, I had an opportunity to talk to a few people here and there. And so here we are 4 years later, and that church now offers, are you ready? They offer a personal hygiene pantry every week. They offer a pet food pantry. They had a food distribution once a month. They offer a monthly program for seniors called Movers and Shakers. They are a total partner with us, total partner. They not only give us space, they give us a monetary donation. And right now we're in the midst of building a raised garden beds on that property to supplement food for over the summer. It's called a salad bowl project, and we will supplement the produce with some canned or a long shelf life proteins so we can make that salad into a meal. So that church and those members, it's just amazing. It is really amazing how they have changed in 4 years.
At the end of the day, after you've spoken with a lot of people and you know what has to be done and you know the people that you're trying to work with, what are you most grateful for?
Wow, there's so much. I guess I'm grateful that I've had life experience. I'm 67, so I've had that life experience that I'm a long-range planner now. And I don't let obstacles derail me. I keep those goals in focus. Sometimes we need to reset, and that's fine. That's how we learn. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the communities that we're in, that people are like, yes, this is something I want to be on board with.
A little while ago, you were speaking about the process behind this program and that it starts with 19 weeks and getting individuals into meat over a meal, breaking bread together, getting them comfortable, and getting them to come back. But do you facilitate all of those sessions?
A year and a half ago, I no longer need to be out doing the facilitations. We meet in four different communities, so I couldn't do it anymore every night. My husband would really appreciate that. So we have three part-time certified facilitators, four at each site, and a co-facilitator at each site. And every co-facilitator is a graduate. That's a stepping stone to them. It's a resume builder, and they're sailing with it. And for nutrition, we have a part-time nutritionist on staff. And just last month, the board decided for 10 hours a week, I could have an administrative assistant.
Oh,
I know.
I'm thrilled.
So I can really now focus on networking and partnerships, community outreach, grant writing, those types of things.
The back end work that has to be done in order to move forward. Yes, indeed. How about a psychologist or a social worker as people are moving through this life-changing process? Is there anyone on board?
Two of our modules in our first 19 weeks is ACEs, Adverse Childhood Experiences and Trauma. And so we do an ACEs survey. Were you raised in a house where there was addiction, incarceration? Everybody does that anonymously, and they get a score. They score it. Now, we also do a PACES, where it's more positive. Did you have someone in your life who took you under their wing, and you get a score for that? And so you look at those scores, and if I have a high PACES score, and maybe I had a high ACEs too, I'm probably going to be okay. And so, Lisa, when we have those sessions, we invite a mental health professional to sit in. And I remember the first mental health professional who came in and sat in on that, and he said, this is the best mental health program in our valley. Because of the long-term support, these people get to know each other very intimately. You know, at 40 weeks, you know each other. And he said, this is just the best for mental health. And the other thing we do right before we start every session, we go around robin, what's new and good this week? What's new and good with you? Because sometimes when you're bogged down with, you know, overdue bills, you might be evicted, it is hard to find anything good in your life. But we need to do that so we can keep going. And so as we share that around the table, we learn about each other. We also learn, I'm not alone. Other people are struggling just like me, and they help each other. They help each other. You know, I know somebody who watched your kids since you lost your babysitter. I know somebody who'll give you a ride to work. It's just a great support system.
Did you ever think that this would blossom into something so beautiful and successful and positive in the community?
You know, I don't think so. I think for so long I was sort of so far in the weeds. I couldn't see the big picture. And so, yeah, I have to pinch myself sometimes now, because now I have graduates who go on the road with me and do testimonials, and our graduates are just fabulous. They're the best volunteers. If I ask them, can you come and do this with me, like a community event, they're there. They're there all the time. we have a family. You know, it's a getting ahead family. On the last Saturday of June, we are having our first alumni event, because at this point we have graduated 200 graduates, and so we're having a Friday evening at Knoebels, a picnic, and get together for that.
Isn't it wonderful, as you go through the community, the people that you have assisted through your program, all of a sudden you see their heads raised up, and they're carrying themselves with dignity and with respect for themselves.
Yeah, absolutely, because they will tell you, I'm here now, and I lived in poverty all my life, but I'm not going back.
You began this program in a very nurturing fashion. And when you're nurtured, there's that gentility and that encouragement, as you displayed in Head Start with the children. And so you were just dealing with an older crowd, but you're using Head Start methods.
Exactly. Exactly. It just flows right through.
So you are a teacher of sorts.
Yeah, in a broad sense.
What's next for Getting Ahead?
We tend to go where communities have the highest poverty rates. So like Shamokin, 1 in 2.5 people live in poverty. And in Milton, that's where we started, 1 in 7 live in poverty. It's still pretty high. Sunbury, it's 1 in 5. Our Mifflinburg site, it's 1 in 10. And Pennsylvania overall has a poverty rate of 12%. And so the communities we serve are pretty high on our list. So we like to do that. The other thing we're seeing, we're doing raised garden beds so we can help with food insecurity. We are seeing an increase in that too, a huge increase. When they come to Getting Ahead, I don't want them to be worried about what am I going to eat the next day. We can't learn if that's what you're thinking about, you know, basic needs. My facilitators in all four communities are transporting people. More and more people are giving up their vehicles to survive. If you want to keep a roof over your head and pay the rent, you may not be able to keep insurance and a car payment. So they're giving up vehicles and they're walking. So my facilitators are transporting a lot of people. And I would like to find a minivan or a something that we could share at all four sites.
You're doing so much for so many, but what do you need?
That would be the minivan. The more food drives we have are good. And a lot of people don't know that hygiene products, paper supplies, cleaning and laundry supplies, we're always grateful for those things. It's the same with hygiene products. It restores your dignity.
This sounds like an odyssey for you. You know, just beginning saying, okay, I'd like to help, and then all of a sudden it's burgeoned into something much larger. Does that overwhelm you sometimes?
Sometimes. The funding is always, you know, from nonprofit. That's probably my biggest concern. Will we be here next year? You know, we have all these phases. Do we need to cut a phase out? So it's funding, but somehow someone intervenes and it works out. It does work out for us. In Getting Ahead, it's about resources. And so we look at 11 different resources that all of us need for a good life. We look at financial, of course. We look at emotional stability. Can we calculate, you know, some math? Are we pretty good at reading? Spiritual and hope. Do we have hope? Why are we here? Support systems. Do you have a support system? Not everybody does. Relationships with positive role models. And you need those. Integrity and trust. Do you have that? Motivation and persistence. We also look at language registers, and we talk for 3 weeks about language. And how do we talk to our children? How do we build vocabulary in our children? Because often our children from low-income families start at a deficit of vocabulary at public school. And so by the end of third grade, you're expected to know how to read. And our children don't often, because they have started at such a deficit. And so from third grade on, you're expected to read to learn. So therefore, if I'm struggling with reading, I'm struggling with learning. And data shows us that about 8th or 9th grade, those children have made a decision. I don't fit in here. I'm not successful. I'm getting out of here as soon as I can. And Getting Ahead, what's really particular about us is we also look at what's a getting by resource where you're, you know, you're not thriving, you're just getting along, as opposed to a getting ahead resource. And so an example is, I'm in that food pantry line every week. I'm getting by. That's a getting by resource. But if I come to Getting Ahead with Nutrition and I learn how to stretch my food stamp dollars and utilize what I get from the food pantry, I'm getting ahead. I may still be there once a month, but I won't be there every week. And so we're really about building resources. That's what we do. And, you know, it was little things like that that showed me, like, we need to keep up with this. Somebody has our back. But it's just little things like that. You go out on a limb, take a chance, and for us, we've been a winner.
How wonderfully rare to meet someone like Rose Williams, founder of the Getting Ahead Foundation in Central Pennsylvania, who took a basic idea to help hundreds of people move forward. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella.